great again to be here with you all. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We're going to jump into, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a, I really think that this scripture can help us in so many ways really understand what God has in store for us, that his dreams are bigger than our dreams, that the challenges you and I face are real, and yet he's got bigger plans than we do even for ourselves. And so we're going to turn to that just now. If somebody would be so kind to advance that slide, because our network is a little down, so we're having a little technical difficulties, but we'll make it work. We'll push through. I think we can make it. So since Christ suffered in the flesh, you also arm yourselves with the same attitude, because the one who has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, in that he spends the rest of his time on earth concerned about the will of God and not human desires. For the time has passed was sufficient for you. For the time that has passed was sufficient for you to do what the non-Christians desire. You live then in debauchery, evil desires, drunkenness, carousing, drinking bouts, and wanton idolatries. So they are astonished when you do not rush with them into the same flood of wickedness, and they vilify you. They will face a reckoning before Jesus Christ, who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. Now it was for this very purpose that the gospel was preached to those who are now dead, so that though they were judged in the flesh by human standards, they may live spiritually by God's standards. This is the word of God for the people. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are bigger than anything we're going to face, than the hard diagnosis we may have received, the financial challenges we're facing, the hopelessness we have in relationships. We pray, Lord, that you would not only meet us there and help walk us through that, but that we would know and be able to embrace that in you, with you, by your grace, by your power. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Guide our hearts and our minds now. Amen. And so, the scripture that I have chosen today, 1 Peter chapter 4, this scripture is not just a scripture written to a people from long ago. This scripture is a scripture written to us today, that we're part of that story. I shared with you before that we were between two worlds, that this scripture really helps make that crystal clear. Now, seriously, we live between two worlds. We have this moment where we know this is not normal, that this is not the way life is supposed to be, that there's brokenness in our lives, there's brokenness in our community. I realized for me this week, I was sharing with the elders this week when we had our session meeting, a praise that I had, that I kind of went, whoa. I was so glad, I was so grateful to see, they had a police officer at one of my child's school, and police officer was there smiling, and I just said, you know, that's great that, you know, the kids get to meet them and see them and kind of build relationships and understand that the police are here to serve and protect. But I, as a parent, I was like, oh, I'm so glad that there's someone here. I shouldn't be that happy. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't bring me that much joy. But I was like, oh, that's so great that they're on that, because of the brokenness in our world. Because we know life is not the way it should be. That when you send your child to school, you hope and pray that they're going to be okay. Before, you used to have to worry about bullying, maybe some teachers that were a little off, you know. But now you just don't know. We live between two worlds. Next slide, please. Ding. That in these two worlds, we are like exiles. That we know this is not our home. And yet God has placed us here. For what purpose? So this being an exile doesn't mean that we just kind of wait, hold back, hang back, and just kind of hope that God returns soon. But we're called to be exiles, to live like there's something already happening. Next slide, please. That last week I challenged all of us that we need to, in fact, the scripture challenged all of us to grow up. That it's that we're not just supposed to, just to come to a church service is great, but it's not why Jesus died. I can walk in my garage, doesn't make me a car. I can walk into a church service, doesn't make me a Christian. We have to actually lean into it. We have to work on it. We have to trust that the Lord is going to do things when we serve, when we, whether it be in the children's environment. God bless Miss Maria Ramkasun. Oh my goodness. Last week, we had a packed house. It was great. We had just a wonderful service. We celebrated. I'm flying high. I'm walking out, and I hear that there were 23 children in there. And I went, God bless you. You get bigger crowns in heaven. I don't know what to tell you. I said you are an amazing woman. Thank you for serving. But that woman, she is serving with all her heart. And it's funny thing is, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. We'll try to send some people to check on you and stuff like that. And she's like, I can handle that. What are you talking about? Like, and she was serious. She was like, you come on, I'm good. I'm a teacher. I do this all day. And I'm like, still, that's hard. But yet, how about that? We have to learn to trust. We have to learn to know that God is taking control, that he is the one that works through us and grows us up. And in doing that, we then can be the people God's called us to be. Okay, so let's do this for real. I love it. I'm so excited. I'm sorry, you have no idea. They just told me, hey, Wi-Fi's working now. Great, I'm back on. They're like, no, thank you, you take over. I shared with you last week too, or a couple weeks ago, that we, as growing, part of growing up in the Lord, part of us being in exile, if you will, and living like that, is we need to continue to keep loving others, that we're not done, that we continue to, when we feel empty, we keep loving. When we don't know if we can take another step, guess what? We pray, and we keep taking that next step. We show hospitality to others, that hopefully every person, when you walk through those doors, you felt loved, you felt encouraged, you felt supported, you felt like this was home for you. You felt like this was a place you were supposed to be. That we also need to use our gifts to serve one another. That it's not just for us, but for others. What would it look like if this week, if you took 1 hour, 1 hour you haven't done like this before, and you just used it for someone else? You blessed someone else. We have been given, if you will, the responsibility to demonstrate to the world what life could be in him. Today, I want you to think about God's dreams, or God dreams. God dreams. You ever thought of that, first of all? I mean, that's a pretty radical statement when you think about it. I mean, he's all-knowing. Why would he dream? God dreams for us. His dreams for us are written throughout the scripture. And the scripture, as I pointed out earlier, I read to you earlier, he says that since Christ suffered in the flesh, you also arm yourselves with the same attitude, because the one who has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, in that he spends the rest of his time on earth concerned about the will of God and not human desires. For the time that has passed was sufficient for you to do what the non-Christians desire. In other words, he's saying, it's a rhetorical sarcasm, if you really want to get technical. He's just saying, listen, you lived long enough in the life before. You celebrated, you did all these things, and he gives a list, and the list is pretty, it covers a lot there. But he says, you lived, and it's a past tense D, right? That lived, you lived then in debauchery, evil desires, drunkenness, and so on. So they are astonished. In other words, this world that you're now in, that once you have said yes to Jesus, he starts to change your heart. He starts to give you new desires. He starts to help you live the way he always imagined, the way he dreamed of you living, the way he always intended. And yet, it doesn't make sense to those that we used to party with, or those that we used to walk with, or those that used to do the things we used to do. They will face a reckoning. Things will be put back to rights. When you read that word, reckoning, before Jesus Christ, who stands ready. Now again, he's writing to a people that they were hoping and praying and trusting, but things were not always that good. first 300 years of Christianity, there were 10 persecutions. Hundreds of thousands of Christians were killed, martyred, because they weren't the official religion. And he's trying to help them understand God does not miss this. God does not turn a blind eye, but Jesus will set things right. Now, it is for this very purpose that the gospel was preached, that it was shared with you, that you saw it in others, to those who are now dead, so that though they were judged in the flesh by human standards, may live spiritually by God's standards. That as we live between these two worlds, we're not in it alone. This dream that God has for us is about a faithful life, a life in Him leaned into, a life in Him that makes the most sense because it's not by us and in us, it's in God, for God. You and I struggle at times just to make it through the day. That's called life. There's going to be those high points in life and low points in life. It may be from an illness. It may be from loss of some sort. And yet, are we trying to do it by our strength? Or are we trying to take it and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you in God and for God. There's this mention in the text and throughout 1 Peter about flesh. Now, flesh is not saying creation. They're saying these human desires outside of God's best plans for you and for me. So what would it look like to have a God who suffered to help overcome those desires, those things that just entangle us, those things that we hold up above everything else? While living in Christ, we're still battling these desires. He still has us here. For what purpose? Is it just to struggle? Or is it to learn to let go, to trust, to surrender, to know it's not about what we can do, but what God can do in us and through us? I wonder. God's dreams are bigger for us. They're bigger than ours that we have for ourselves. Have you ever considered, maybe this moment's the first moment, that God has more invested in you than you do in yourself? Maybe He's got bigger plans for you. But the question is, have you been settling? Have you really been leaning in to what God has for you and your family? For you, right here, right now, 2018, corner of Heatherwood, California, God has put this church here. It's so much bigger than what you know and what I know. And He's called us to love. He's called us to serve. His plans are bigger than ours. This text really goes back and forth. There's just comparison between the past and the present. You used to do this. You used to live like this. But now you're living like this. And then he again has this comparison between what the future's going to be and yet living it now. That it's not about having it all together. There's nothing in the text about pretending. There's nothing in the text about being perfect. But throughout the entire text, it's about living in Christ, trusting and surrendering to Him. And it starts with a simple prayer. Lord, I turn this over to you. Lord, that battle I have in the flesh, those human desires that I have that are that old way of living, I turn that over to you. Help me to want what you want. There's this, if you will, philosophy known as hedonism. Hedonism is really seeking your desires, what satisfies you, what pleasures you, more than maybe something else, more than sometimes anyone else. Whatever makes you happy is your, if you will, kind of standard. I don't believe hedonism goes far enough, though. I don't know if you've heard of the term Christian hedonism. What would that look like? What if what most pleased us is what most glorified God? What if we sought God's pleasure and God's passions more than our passions? Could it be that the way God made us was so we could really live that out? That maybe we're not satisfied from all the other things we're searching for, all the things we're going for, because we're really not going after God's plans and desires and purposes. What would our life look like if we really understood the past was the past. Live in the present. The future is what we could be and should be and what God wants us to be, and live it like it's now already. I wonder. So where are you most satisfied? That's your question for this day, maybe this week, maybe this year. Where are you most satisfied? Can you answer like this? I am most satisfied when God is most glorified. What would your life look like if your satisfaction was coming from how you glorified God? Maybe you use your gifts to bless someone else, whether it be putting up a vinyl sign in our church that says, "Welcome home," or "God be with you till we meet again." Or maybe you, again, volunteer and you speak truth and hope in someone's life and you remind them of God's love here and now. Maybe you're a social media guru and you just are incredible at letting others know things through that and the hope of Jesus through that. However you do it, if you seek God's glory, he is well pleased. Consider this idea, the passion of God versus the passion of humanity. Well, what we're passionate for, is it in alignment with what the Lord's doing and saying? Our first hymn that we sang had this idea of throughout that Jesus, life in him can only be, it can only happen by his grace, by his spirit living in us. There's nothing we do except just surrender and accept it. So then I ask you, what's your next step? How are you going to reply? How are you going to respond? Every day we have choices. Every day you and I will meet people that are rude to us, or that are obnoxious to us, that cut us off, that tell us we're number one in so many fingers. There's going to be days when we're going to have people that are going to not, if you will, live like it's the future. Not live the way God dreamed and planned. And yet, God has called us, first and foremost, to live for his glory. So how can we do that? One scripture that I don't have up there, but I just feel led to read to you right now, if you would be so kind and give me the grace to let me read this to you. It's from The Message. If you're not familiar with that text, it's a great text. It's a paraphrase. It's a way of putting it in today's words, but very, very accurate to the Greek and the Hebrew. Let me just read it to you, if you will. And this comes from Romans chapter 12. And it's just, this gentleman named Paul, he just had a way of writing things that kind of brought it all together. And so he says this, "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you." Notice it's God helping you. "Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him." Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. What would it look like if you really did take your everyday ordinary life? You're getting up, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place before God and say, "God, use my life for your glory." In those moments, I promise you this, in those moments, you'll have more than one. You'll have numerous people that will just randomly tell you, "You know that card you sent me, or that note you gave me, or that you just kind of pulled me aside that afternoon and said, 'Hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you.'" And that was it. That was like oxygen to my soul. All because you just were trying to glorify God in your here, living in the present, leaning into the future right here, right now. So that is my challenge to you. Live as it is then, but now. Live as God's people that he's making us become now. Not by you trying harder, but by you trusting more, by leaning on the brothers and sisters in Christ, being open to what the Lord wants to do. Take your everyday, ordinary life in God, for God. What would it look like if we really did this? I wonder. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we lift this all up to you. We thank you for your word, that you give us light. And by this gift, we know Jesus. And by this story that you have given to us into history, Lord, you point the way. We don't believe in the Son because by it we see it. We believe in the Son because by it we see everything else. And we trust, Lord, that your Son, Jesus, because of faith in him and trusting him, you're going to help us live like you. That as we're between these two worlds, that your dreams for us are so much bigger than the dreams we have for ourselves. May we surrender all to you. There is brokenness in this world. And I am grateful, Lord, for people that stand to stand against injustice. And we are grateful, Lord, for people that seek to serve and love and honor you. We pray for your world. We pray for your kingdom to come. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to anoint this church, fill this church with your Spirit, that we may be about your business, serving your purposes. We thank you for our deacons that serve their flocks well, that care for each person, that pray for them and love them. Continue to give them the encouragement, the strength, the discipline they need to serve your people. We pray, Lord, for all those who are serving in this community, whether it be in our children's environment, to volunteering at a school, to picking up their grandkids and loving on them like your Son, Jesus. Help us all, Lord, seek to glorify you and find our satisfaction in you. We pray for the other churches in our community. We lift up those who are hurting, those who are broken. We pray for healing. Lord, I want to say thank you for Miss Linda Nelson, too. May she have a beautiful birthday. She's been away from us for too long, but we pray, Lord, that you would help bring healing upon her and that we can celebrate with her very, very soon. Also want to lift up, Lord, our school. We thank you for the partnership. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for all the families there. We pray that you would continue to bless their marriages, bless their households, Lord, that they may be lights in our community. Help us serve them well. We pray for our nation and our world. We pray for our leaders. We ask you to give them wisdom beyond their years, favor, humble them. May they lean on you. And ultimately, Lord, we remember that this prayer is begun in you when you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."